The first verse in the Torah I ever learned by heart is in this week's Parsha. When my brother and I would go visit our father in New York for the summer, he would try to figure out things for us to do during the day, and one year, I must have been about 10 or 11, he sent us to this Chabad day camp for a week. We weren't observant during the rest of the year at my mom's house, so my father probably thought it would be good training for us, maybe fill in some gaps. The thing I remember most vividly from that week is that every morning, all the campers would stand outside on the grass in a big formation and chant together, Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe, Marasha, Kehilas, Yaakov. That is, Moshe commanded us with Torah, the inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov. It was very exciting to be able to shout something in Hebrew, and especially something that seemed to have great significance, like a rallying cry. I knew some of the words, like Torah and Moshe, but I didn't know exactly what I was saying. I certainly didn't know the word Morasha, inheritance. Morasha, it turns out, is a rather uncommon word form in the Torah. Its root, Yud-Reh-Shin, appears quite frequently as a verb, to inherit. And the more common noun form, Yerusha, has appeared 7 times before in Sefer Devarim and will appear again as many times later in Tanakh, and then becomes the standard Hebrew word for inheritance. But Morasha, the Baal HaTurim points out, appears in only one other place in all of Tanakh. Early on in the book of Exodus, in God's description of the land to Moshe, V'heveti etchem el ha'aretz asher nasati et yadi latet ota la'Avraham li'Yitzchak u'li'Yaakov. I will bring them to the land that I raised my hand and pledged to give to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'natati ota lechem morasha, ani Hashem. And I will give it to them as an inheritance, a morasha. I am the Eternal. Why this special form of inheritance for Torah and the land? Does it indicate some distinction between these types of collective inheritance and the more standard family inheritance? The Talmud, in Bava Batra, says that Moshe himself was uncertain about the precise meaning of the word. Yerushahi lechem me'avotechem, odilma shemorishin ve'enan yorshin. Does it mean the same thing as Yerushah, that it was an inheritance from their ancestors? Or maybe the mem indicates a causative action, like the verb morish, to cause to inherit, and means that this is something they pass on as an inheritance, but never actually inherit themselves. That latter distinction might make sense in this case, as the generation of Israelites who leave Egypt are not actually the ones who will cross over into the Promised Land. So maybe it's true that they will never really inherit the land from their ancestors, but only pass it on. But the Talmud answers, somewhat paradoxically, no, it isn't one or the other. Morasha means both, travayu. It indicates both an inheritance that you got from your ancestors and also an inheritance that you pass on and do not ever really inherit. It is both true that the Israelites who left Egypt did inherit the land from their ancestors, but also that they never really took full possession of it, but were only able to pass it on as an inheritance to their descendants. The Baal HaTurim takes the tension in this definition of Morasha and uses it to resolve another seeming contradiction. This is what our sages meant, he writes, when they said that the Torah is not your inheritance. He's quoting the Tana, Rabbi Yosef HaKohen, who says in Pirkei Avot, V'hatken atzmecha lilmod Torah, she'ena Yerushalach. Prepare yourself to learn Torah, for it is not your inheritance, Yerusha. But how can Rabbi Yossi say this? Doesn't our Parsha tell us that the Torah is Morasha Kehilat Yaakov, the inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov? Isn't that us? But the Baal HaTurim is suggesting that Rabbi Yossi is using the more standard word for inheritance, Yerusha, to indicate that we shouldn't think of Torah as something we get automatically, just by inheriting it. We do inherit a claim to Torah from our ancestors, but it takes work to really acquire Torah. The Torah is our inheritance, but that doesn't make it ours automatically. So we should think of it not as a Yerusha, but as a Morasha, an inheritance primarily in the sense that it is our obligation to pass it on. Whatever we acquire in Torah is not ours to keep, but to share forward. I inherited this cycle of writing Hadar's Divrei Torah from Rabbi Eli Confer, and it was intimidating from the start to try to live up to the incredibly high standard that he had set. He astounded me week after week with his ability to find in every parsha a critical source for some core Jewish prayer tradition. You can check them all out on our website for a tour through the Torah that doubles as a master class on Jewish prayer. And I am honored to pass this inheritance on to Rabbi Tali Adler, whose Torah I had admired in writing before I had the zchut to come and work with her at Hadar. I've often had the experience of reading just one paragraph from Rav Tali and having my understanding of a classic text entirely transformed, and my heart broken open a little bit in the process. The beauty and profundity of her Torah reminds me of words from this week's Parsha. Mimeged shamayim mital, umitahom rovetzet tachat. From the bounty of heaven, from dew, and from the great depths that lurk beneath. The Morasha in our Parsha is given to Kehilat Yaakov, the congregation of Yaakov, and the Baal HaTurim also notes that this language of congregating is important for the Morasha, because it indicates that the inheritance of Torah can only be passed on when many people are involved. Ematai HaTorah mitkayemet, keshe mitasfin Kehilat Yaakov. When is the Torah fulfilled? When the whole congregation of Yaakov is assembled. And indeed, many people were involved in the passing on of these Divrei Torah. Working with Hadar's editorial team is one of the greatest professional gifts I have ever received. Eli Shevet Urbas, the editing Rebbe, introduced me to a whole new perspective on the practice of writing and helped me understand that editing is a true art form unto itself. Rabbi Effi Unterman provided wise counsel when writing crises erupted. There were many, and guided me back to shore. Rabbi Jason Rogoff lent his eagle eyes to my writing and my citing, saving me many times from making terrible mistakes and providing me with essential connections that sometimes resolved a problem I had been struggling with all week. And above all, I could not have done this without the remarkable editing gifts of Dr. Jeremy Tabak, who generously gave me countless hours of his knowledge and expertise and profoundly shaped every piece that came out this year. I have never had a better chevruta in the comments of a Google Doc, and I am profoundly grateful for it. Sam Greenberg and Joy Feinberg also patiently worked with me in my frenzied last-minute revisions every single week to get the piece mailed out, often offering wise editorial suggestions of their own in the final draft. David Chabinsky taught me how to sound good on podcast equipment, and Nadav Remez edited the recording, took out all my verbal stumbles, and made me sound real smooth on Tashma. It took a whole congregation to get these out to you every week. As I stood outside with all the other little boys at that Chabad camp that summer, shouting words I did not understand, it seemed rather unlikely that this Torah of my ancestors was really to become my inheritance. Never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined then that I would one day be in a position to share words of Torah and to participate in passing some of this inheritance on. I am so deeply grateful to all of you out there for reading and receiving these words about words. May we all be blessed to continue to share words of Torah together, week after week, year after year.